DJ Marcus. Let's see what's happening in the world today.
Hello. I'm fighting the hiccups. Sorry for the late start. Today is November 11th. It's Veterans Day in the U.S. Whew. Or Armistice Day in some places. I was scarfing down lunch, and I got the hiccups. And so then, I was waiting, I was hoping they would go away, but they didn't. So, today's show is a little less organized than normal, but, hey, what are you gonna do? As always, though, we always start with our world news.
World news.
Alright, so, first up, Mexico's confirming foreign minister is in talks with the U.S. over ex-defense secretary's arrest. We've talked about this twice before in recent weeks. Mexico confirmed on Wednesday that its top diplomat, Foreign Minister Marcelo Ebrard, spoke to U.S. Attorney General William Barr about the arrest of former Mexican defense minister and retired Army General Salvador Cienfuegos on U.S. soil. President Andrés Manuel López Obrador said during a regular government news conference that Ebrard is in talks with the U.S. Attorney General and that a diplomatic memo had been sent. It's true that a diplomatic memo was sent, and it's true that there have been phone calls between the foreign minister and the United States Attorney General on this issue, said López Obrador, without offering further details. The announcement comes days after Reuters reported that Barr spoke with Ebrard last week to try to lower bilateral tension arising from the arrest of Cienfuegos, a top player in Mexico's war on drug gangs until 2 years ago. He was arrested last month on drug charges. So, it'll be something. Hey, my comm has failed. Comm, activate. Go to Anon Radio. Something you can do. If you have an SS, if you go ahead and get Meta Array status or you become a Meta ARPA member, you get access to the Meta Array, which allows you to run TMUX. And so I run TMUX on the Meta Array and then connect back over to STF to, you know, use COM and stuff. But you don't have to get that involved in it. The big thing to know is that you can type COM USSH over to SDF, tty.sdf.org, hit enter. Type COM, C-O-M, hit enter, and you'll be entered into COM, the wonderful chat program used at SDF. And you press G for go to, and then you type Anon Radio, all together, all lowercase. We may have had a reboot or something recently because, golly gee, there are only 7 people idling in Anon Radio today, and usually there's a bunch, so pretty neat. Anyway, SDF is a super cool place, and it's definitely powering Anon Radio. So thanks for tuning in. And don't forget, at 19:30 UTC, the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe starts up. And that's always a fun time. So don't forget that. All right. So let's keep on going. Armenian Parliament fails to discuss PM's resignation after the ceasefire. So the Armenian Parliament on Wednesday failed to discuss the Prime Minister's resignation demanded by thousands of protests over a ceasefire that secured territorial advances for Azerbaijan and the Nagorno-Karabakh region. The ceasefire, announced on Tuesday, ended 6 weeks of fighting, the worst in the mountain enclave for decades, and has been celebrated as a victory. So, way to go, you guys. We'll see how that plays out. And we talked about this yesterday, but it's coming true. Hong Kong's pro-democracy opposition lawmakers said on Wednesday that they would resign in protest against the dismissal of 4 of their colleagues from the city assembly after Beijing gave local authorities new powers to further curb dissent. The Chinese parliament earlier adopted a resolution allowing the city's executive to expel lawmakers deemed to be advocating Hong Kong independence, colluding with foreign forces, or threatening national security without having to go through the courts. Shortly afterward, the local government announced the disqualification of 4 assembly members who had previously been barred from running for re-election as authorities deemed their pledge of allegiance to Hong Kong was not sincere. And the photo does show the people in question. They're all holding hands, and they're all wearing masks. And so it's kind of an interesting... They don't look like... they look like they're just a group of people in solidarity there. So it's very interesting. Analysts say mass resignations remove democracy's activists' access to a forum where they could question policymakers and make them more accountable to public opinion, but staying could have been perceived by their supporters as legitimizing Beijing's move and led to discord. So they were damned either way. Alrighty. Well, let's keep on keeping on. I've been saying that lately. Oh, yeah. Alright. In London, a statue honoring a feminist pioneer has been taped up, cloaked in masks. Yepper, that's right. The sculpture by British artist Maggie Humbling, unveiled on Tuesday, angered feminists and other critics who said the naked figure drew attention to the female body instead of honoring the 18th century intellectual's achievements and influence. A key theme in the backlash was that men commemorated with monuments are usually depicted clothed. Hambling responded by saying that she wanted to move away from the tradition of male heroic statuary to create something timeless, not historical. Having received ample media attention all day, the statue was visited in the evening by unknown people who taped up its private parts and placed two face masks of the kind worn to curb the spread of COVID-19 on its shoulders, like a cloak. And I'm trying to find a photo of this art piece. Here we go. It's the statue depicts what looks like kind of like a wave or a rocket or something going up. And then on top of this amorphous pillow and cloud kind of thing, there is a nude woman up there at the top. And so that's what they would have covered. Cultural historian Fern Riddle said it reminded her of how women are created in images that never match their thoughts, and said people could interpret it however they wanted. There's a lot of commotion about that. And if you're in the U.S. and you're alive in the 90s or later, you probably know who Britney Spears is, but she famously had a breakdown and shaved her head and all this kind of stuff. Well, ever since then, she's been in what in the U.S. is called a conservatorship. Basically what that means is you're a grown-up and you're not committed to a hospital or anything, but you don't have any legal rights. Like you, the person in charge of you, you have a guardian, even though you're grown. You have a guardian that has all the powers of attorney, has all access to all of your assets, everything else like that. And so Britney Spears has been trapped in one of these after a mental breakdown, but hasn't been able to escape it afterwards, even though she's appears to have gotten better. The guy, her dad, has been her legal guardian for 12 years due to concerns about her mental health. And the lawyer says, her lawyer, Britney Spears' lawyer, says the pop star is afraid of him and that she would not perform as long as he remained in the role. Her father's lawyer argued that he always acted in the best interest of his daughter. Judge said he would consider future appeals for his dismissal or outright removal. In the meantime, at the request of Ms. Spears, financial company Bessemer Trust has been appointed as co-conservator. During a hearing on Tuesday, lawyer Samuel Ingram said he and her father have no viable working relationship and have not spoken in a long while. So it's kind of, it's very interesting. You can read about what a conservatorship is over there on the BBC if you're interested. And let's talk about football just for a moment. Barcelona is suing Neymar after allegedly overpaying the Brazilian. Barcelona is going to sue Neymar for 10.2 million euros that they believe they overpaid the Brazilian during his time at the club. Neymar enjoyed a successful spell at Barca between 2013 and 2017 before joining Paris Saint-Germain for 222 million euros, a world record fee. But according to Spanish newspaper El Mundo, an inspection from the tax office in Spain showed Barcelona did not make the appropriate reductions when paying his taxes, according to an inspection carried out on Barcelona, which lasted until 2015. The tax office in Spain calculates Neymar benefited from unfair enrichment. Barcelona's source confirmed to the AFP, which is France 24, AFP, the club will now seek to reclaim the amount they are owed. Neymar has more unpaid tax with the Spanish authorities than any other person, with debts of 34.6 million euros, according to an official document released in September. Spain's fiscal authorities are also reported investigating two of his transfers, including his arrival at Camp Nou from Brazilian team Santos in 2013 and his historic switch to PSG 4 years later. So, sounds like he's going to be in some hot water. Whoops-a-doop. Here we go. Doo-doo. There's always something new going on. Do 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 do. Oh, what was his name? Oh, they, of course not. Why would they? Sorry. Side thoughts. Oh, here's something to let you know. Several have been injured in an Armistice Day attack at a Saudi cemetery. At least three people were wounded Wednesday in what French officials describe as a bomb attack, targeting a World War I commemoration ceremony attended by European diplomats at a non-Muslim cemetery in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia. France's foreign ministry said the attack had taken place at a ceremony marking the end of World War I, and that several people had been wounded as a result of an explosive device. So, very sad news there. It's kind of a pain. The ministry's called on Saudi authorities to shed as much light as they can on this attack and to identify and hunt down the perpetrators. So, there we go. I'm going to play a song or so here, just to kind of work it on out. I am just running out of gas, you know? And such is life, you know? That's kind of what happens. So... this song is called When the War is Over. It's off of the album called The Road to Escondido, and it's got J.J. Cale and Eric Clapton. It's a classic kind of bluesy rock song. Hope you like it.
When this war is over, it will be a better day. When this war is over, it will be a better day.
listening to Anon Radio, powered by SDF Public Access Unix System.
100% correct. It is 17 minutes past the hour. That means that we've got about 12 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tope. That is every day at 1930 UTC. I do want to thank you for tuning in today. So let's go ahead here and get on in to some more news. Sorry, before that, I'm just drinking my tea. Oh, man, I made some Dahong Pao today. If you think, oh, man, I'm not sure if I like that tea or not, you know what? Put in another gram or two of tea, a gram or two of leaf into the tea, and let it steep. Maybe let it steep, you know, 30 seconds shorter than you normally do. Oh, man, it is just, it's something else. It really, really changes things. It's wonderful. All right. It's exciting. All right, here we go. So Donald Trump still hasn't conceded the election yet, which has people on all sides talking. He's not conceded the 2020 election to projected winner Joe Biden. Multiple major media outlets have declared Biden the winner, and he's widely expected to be elected the 46th president. Trump has claimed the election was manipulated against him, and he and other Republicans have filed lawsuits alleging voter fraud and vote counting discrepancies in several states. Voices throughout the spectrum have focused on Trump's attitudes toward the election's current state. Many, especially left-rated voices, have criticized Trump and the Republican Party for purportedly assaulting Democratic values by not conceding. Wall Street Journal editorial from Trump's former chief of staff, Mick Mulvaney, lays out the president's ostensible intention to act and speak like a great president should win or lose once all outstanding litigation is resolved. Election law and claims of voter fraud have been significant focus of fact-checkers on the left, right, and center. So, there's no history there. If you remember, we did talk about how there were tons of, the top four out of the top five heads of the Pentagon all quit or resigned. We'll talk about that here in a second. First up, this is COVID related because it's important. Cold storage challenges could hamper distribution of Pfizer's COVID-19 vaccines, Fauci is saying. Dr. Anthony Fauci, director of the U.S. National Institute of Allergy and Infectious Diseases on Wednesday, said it would be challenging to distribute vaccines that use messenger RNA-based technology in developing countries owing to their cold storage requirements. The comments come days after Pfizer Inc. said its experimental COVID-19 vaccine is more than 90% effective based on initial trial results, and that it expected to file for U.S. emergency authorization this month. The vaccine candidate uses synthetic messenger RNA to activate the immune system against the virus and needs to be kept at minus 70 degrees Celsius, that's 94 degrees Fahrenheit, or below. Negative 94 degrees Fahrenheit, or below. It does have cold chain challenges, as it were. In a country like the UK and the United States, we can address them, and it still would be challenging, but probably much more challenging in countries in the developing world, Fauci said at the Financial Times Global Pharmaceutical and Biotechnological Conference. Moderna Inc.'s experimental vaccine, which is on track to report early data from late-stage trial later this month, also uses mRNA technology and needs to be stored at minus 20 degrees Celsius, or negative 4 degrees Fahrenheit. That's the reason why, when we put together our plan, we want to have a diversity of what we call vaccine platforms. It's not just mRNA. There are three separate platforms that are being looked at in the United States, Fauci says. So we'll see how that goes. As it's been mentioned before in other outlets, the vaccine is really only going to be super useful if we can get every human being on Earth vaccinated against this disease. So, yeah, it's going to be a big challenge. Good luck. And of course,
this is time for
tech news story real quick. Federal judge has dismissed some claims by Apple in fight against Epic Games. This comes to us from Bloomberg. This is from Reuters via Bloomberg. A federal judge in California late on Tuesday dismissed some of Apple's counterclaims against Epic Games, narrowing the scope of a dispute that has seen online game maker's Fortnite game removed from the iPhone's App Store. Apple and Epic have been in legal battle since August, when the maker of the popular game launched its own in-app payment system to circumvent what it called Apple's monopolistic practices. Epic in October had filed a motion in advance of Tuesday's hearing seeking the dismissal of Apple's counterclaims of intentional interference with prospective economic advantage and conversion, wherein Apple had asked for lost App Store fees and other monetary damages. Bloomberg News reported on Tuesday that U.S. District Judge Yvonne Gonzalez-Rogers threw out those claims and limited Apple's allegations to its breach of contract counterclaims against Epic. A judge in October had ruled that Apple could bar Epic's Fortnite game from its App Store, but must not harm Epic's developer tools business, including the Unreal Engine software, which is used by hundreds of other video games. This is a high-stakes breach of contract case and an antitrust case, and that's all in my view, Judge Gonzalez-Rogers told lawyers according to Bloomberg News. You can't just say it's independently wrongful, Bloomberg quoted the judge as saying to a lawyer for Apple, referring to Epic's conduct. You actually have to have facts, the judge said, adding that the rest of the breach of contract case moves forward. Apple and Epic did not respond to Rogers' request for comment. So we'll see what happens. That's going to be interesting. Oh, yeah. Let's keep on seeing what we got here. Gross. All right, I was going to read this story, but I'm not going to now. All right, let's go on to this one. TikTok asked Donald Trump, are we still banned? Chinese video service TikTok has begun a legal challenge against the Trump administration over its plans to shut it down in the U.S. on November 12th. So we talked about they had did a stay or whatever yesterday. So President Trump ordered a ban on new downloads of the service on the 12th unless ByteDance was purchased by a U.S. firm. TikTok said it had worked since August attempting to comply with the order. It said it had no feedback from the U.S. government in 2 months. TikTok is actively engaged with CFIUS, Committee on Foreign Investment in the United States, in good faith to address its national security concerns, even as we disagree with its assessment, the firm said in a statement. In the nearly 2 months since the president gave his preliminary approval to our proposal to satisfy those concerns, we have offered detailed solutions to finalize the agreement, but have received no substantive feedback on our extensive data privacy and security framework. That included a new proposal that would create a new entity wholly owned by Oracle, Walmart, and existing U.S. investors in ByteDance that would be responsible for handling TikTok U.S. user data and content moderation. It added that it had filed a court petition with the U.S. Appeals Court to defend our rights and those of more than 1,500 employees in the U.S. So, this would be very interesting. Be very interesting to see what happens, given that the Trump administration is kind of in an alternate reality right now. I'm not sure if they kind of can grasp anything that exists, at least for right now. Let's see. What else are we going to talk about? We've got about 5 minutes to go before the Dubious Goals Committee kicks off. So we're just going to I'm trying to find a couple of shorter stories. No, that's too long. Too long. These stories, when they're too long, it sucks, because then it's like you can't read it before it's done. Okay, here we go. Where is that story? I had the story of the people who were quit, but can't find it now. Okay. Yes, yes. Shucks. Sorry, I can't find it. The NPR had this story too, but basically a bunch of Pentagon people quit. And it's like, oh dear. And then Trump loyalists were installed. So the military apparatus, the main Department of Justice apparatus is stacked with Trump yes men. All right, well, since I can't find that story, or I didn't save the bookmark or whatever, this is a similar story. The White House has reportedly demand a list of names of people who clapped as a departing Pentagon official left the building, having resigned after his boss was fired by Donald Trump. James Anderson, the acting Undersecretary of Defense for Policy, was a key advisor to Mark Esper, the Defense Secretary, who Mr. Trump announced via tweet on Monday had been terminated. Mr. Anderson, a former Marine who taught at the Marine Corps War College before joining the Department of Defense, resigned on Tuesday. Sorry, I said DOJ, I meant DOD. Resigned on Tuesday, Bill Kristol, a never-Trump Republican and former newspaper editor who now runs advocacy organizations Defending Democracy Together, said there was an atmosphere of loyalty oath inside the Pentagon. A sign of the loyalty oath atmosphere now at DOD, when Jim Anderson was fired yesterday as acting undersecretary for policy, is given a clap out as he left the building. The White House called to request names of any political appointees who joined in so they could be fired. So, that's the world we live in. It's sad times indeed, I'm sorry to say. What you gonna do? Greetings, Barnacle. Hey, SMJ. Thanks for joining in on comm. Then the rest of the article from The Independent just kind of goes through the person who was fired and how bad that was. But yeah, the U.S. is in rough shape. We've got 70 days left, and there's a lot of damage that can be done between now and then. Let's see. What's the next thing say? Oh, Dissent magazine had this really cool article about a world without work. You might want to check it out if you've been checking out those other articles I mentioned, you know. Also, the state of Texas, where I'm at, 1 in 10 coronavirus cases is here in Texas. That's right. We have the most coronavirus, so yeah, I'm probably not going to be going out every day like I have been. So, what you going to do? We don't have a lot of time left, so I'm just going to play part of a song. Or maybe I'll just look for a song and then the ending music will play. How do I not have him? Shucks. I thought I had some Ozzy, but I don't. Oh well. Thanks for tuning in, everybody. This show was rough. Sorry about that. Well, that sound means that our time's come to an end. Thanks for listening. I'll be back tomorrow, and every weekday, Monday through Friday, before the Dubious Goals Committee with Tobe at 1900 UTC. Talk to you then.